You're listening to the Gulam Institute podcast series, The Rawi Gems, by Mufti Hussain Kamani. Gulam is pleased to announce the Hadith Intensive, an immersive study into the science of Hadith and Sunnah. For more information, visit gulaminstitute.org/hadith. And Jazakallah khair for listening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafaa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today in Surah Sad, we will recite a very beautiful story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us regarding the story of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam was one of the prophets of Banu Israel. According to Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi, he quotes a narration in which it states that Ayyub alayhi salam actually was a Rumi. He lived in the Roman Empire. And Ibn Jalil al-Tabari rahmatullahi alayhi, he quotes two very interesting narrations which kind of give us a timeline of when Ayyub alayhi salam came to the world. According to one narration, Ibn Jalil al-Tabari says that Ayyub alayhi salam's wife was the daughter of Yaqub alayhi salam. And he quotes that her name was Layla. And then the second narration that Ibn Jalil al-Tabari quotes, he says that Ayyub alayhi salam's wife was the granddaughter of Yusuf alayhi salam, and her name was Rahma. So in either case, you see that Ayyub alayhi salam came somewhat after the time of Yaqub alayhi salam. According to one narration, a little earlier. According to the other narration, a little later. Now, the unique thing about the story of Ayyub alayhi salam is that he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to a people. And Ayyub alayhi salam gave them da'wah like all prophets did wholeheartedly. And out of the congregation, out of his community, only three people believed in him. Only three people bought iman on him. And Ayyub alayhi salam continued to work with him. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Ayyub alayhi salam with everything. He was a very wealthy man, had a very big family, he was very healthy, very handsome, and he had everything that a person could imagine. But even though he had everything, that everything of his never distracted him from Allah. He always knew that everything was nothing if he didn't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was always connected to Allah. So one day shaitan saw this and he said, "Ya Allah, Ayyub only worships you because he's wealthy. If he didn't have wealth, he wouldn't worship you." Now, if you think about the statement for a second, it sounds very foolish. Because usually, it's the people who have wealth who get distracted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not always, not I said usually. There were certain people who came in Islamic history who were wealthy and they were very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, and there were many kinds like this. However, generally, it was the poor people who followed the prophets first. This was the theme. When the prophets came with their da'wah, and the Quran talks about this, right? When the prophets came with da'wah to their communities, it was generally the poor people. Because the poor people, they have very simple lives. They're not sophisticated people. They're always in need. And they're always looking for the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when someone brings reality to them, because they're not so occupied, they can easily connect. As for many times, what happens is wealth brings pride inside a person. And when a person has pride, he believes that he has to understand everything in order for it to make sense. So at that time, he begins to challenge wealth a lot. His wealth becomes a means of him challenging revelation. Now, anyway, shaitan says, "Ya Allah, Ayyub is only worshipping you because he has wealth." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to shaitan, "I give you permission to test Ayyub alayhi salam, but you cannot touch his body. Do whatever you want, but you can't touch his body." So then shaitan had a fire lit inside Ayyub alayhi salam's lands, and all of his business was destroyed in one day. Now think about this for a second. If you did not have insurance on your business, there was no insurance policy then, okay? You don't have insurance on your business and your entire business, your empire was to collapse in one day, what would happen to you and I? You know, a person loses their job, they go through depression, they can't sleep anymore. Just one job, they lose all their sleep. They're worried, will I get hired again or not? How will I provide for my family? You know, in Chicago a few years back, there was a situation where there was a kind of like a scam that happened. And a part of the scam, many Muslims lost large amounts of money. And had you come to Chicago during those days and come to that part of the town and met those people, you would have thought Chicago was a zombie town. Literally, people were going through depression, and rightfully, they had lost their life earnings. It was gone just like this. So Ayyub alayhi salam, not just $1 or $2, he loses everything. And at this point, he is old. According to one narration, Ayyub alayhi salam was close to 70 years old. How many? 70 years old. He wasn't 40 that he can build empire again. Now he's 70 years old, all of his businesses were gone. Ayyub alayhi salam, shaitan came to see how Ayyub alayhi salam, how he retaliated to this. Ayyub alayhi salam said, "Walillahi alhamd." All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan, he then plays the second card, and what he does is, when Ayyub alayhi salam stepped out of his home, his family was at home and they were eating, and shaitan shook the foundation of the house, and the entire house collapsed and everyone died. All of his kids and children, they all died at once. Now a person can't imagine losing one child, he lost his entire family. And Ayyub alayhi salam is watching again, and he comes back home, he sees all of them have passed away. Shaitan comes to see, does Ayyub alayhi salam lose his iman now? Because this is what happened to many people. Many people, when they lose a family member that's very close to them, they begin to doubt the existence of Allah. And Shaitan thought this would be the card that would take Ayyub alayhi salam away from iman. That would take Ayyub alayhi salam away from being that grateful servant of Allah. But he didn't realize that Ayyub alayhi salam was a mountain of patience. And Ayyub alayhi salam says, "Walillahi alhamd. If Allah wishes to take my kids away, let it be." So then he says to Allah that, "Oh Allah," Shaitan says to Allah, "Ya Allah, I've tested him in his wealth and in his family, but I fear that the one thing that matters to him most is him. He as a person." So Allah says, "I give you permission to test his body as well, but you cannot touch his heart. His heart is for me." So then Shaitan comes and he blows on to Ayyub alayhi salam. When he blows on to him, this disease, this illness begins to spread through Ayyub alayhi salam's body. And he has ulcers all over his entire body until a point comes where his body begins to leave a bad smell. And it was such a foul smell that the people of the community, they requested that his body be removed from the city. And Ayyub alayhi salam's body was placed in the outer skirts of the city, nearer to the dump area. And the only person that accompanied him through this tough time of his life was his wife. And his wife was the one that was by his side, and she cooked for him, she cleaned for him, she took care of him, she clothed him, she washed him, and she would take him for the washroom and clean up after him. And when she realized that their wealth was running out, whatever little they had left, now she had to go work. She would work a full-time job, bring the money, and then look after Ayyub alayhi salam. She did this for 7 years. How many years? 7. This is what you call a marriage. You know, where she lost everything in her husband. If she had married him for his wealth, all of that was gone. All the family is gone. And not only that, he's lost his health and he's lost his beauty. He's lying there as a sick person and literally a vegetated state. But this was a wife who wasn't going to give up on her husband. And how old was he at this point? 70. What would many of us say if we had someone like this who had lost everything and was in this kind of state at 70? We'd say, you know, maybe it's best to take him off life support. Let the guy die now. You know, 70 years old, he's lived his life. Let him go from the dunya. But here his wife is next to him and she's by his side and she's looking after him, looking after him. One day, however, she comes home and she's sitting there and it's been 7 years now. 7 years of her life taking a complete change, a complete unique turn, different turn. And she sits by her husband one night, Ayyub alayhi salam, and she says to him, "Ayyub, why don't you just ask Allah to cure you?" Ayyub alayhi salam said, "Allah gave me good health, wealth, and family for 70 years. And until I'm not sick for 70 years, I don't have the right to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And he remained there like that. And at that point, Ayyub alayhi salam, according to one narration, he said to his wife, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever restores me to my health, because he felt that his wife wanted to leave him. And he felt that his wife was, you know, he felt that shaitan was coming to him through his wife and trying to break him. Because that's what shaitan was trying to do all this time, trying to break him. And when his wife said, you know, "Why don't you just accept that you've lost in this matter? You know, just tell Allah to cure you." He felt that shaitan was coming through his wife and trying to attack him and break him down. So he said to his wife that if Allah ever cures me, there will be a very unique punishment I will put you through. So just keep that in your mind, okay? We'll come back to it. Now, Ayyub alayhi salam, he's lying there and he says, "Ya Allah, you know, I'm tested by everyone. My wealth is gone, my family is gone, until the point where my own wife is now, it seems like she's also getting tired of me." You know when everyone felt up, everyone's kind of tired of you? And even those that are closest to you, you can ask, if you don't know this feeling, if you don't know what it feels like, I'll give you an explanation of what this feels like. You know, there are parents who look after their kids their entire life. They take care of their kids. Their kids, when they're babies, they actually sleep with the parents. When the kids grow and they wake up in the middle of the night, they come sleep next to the parents. The kids can urinate in the bed, in the parents' bed. They can throw up in the kids' parents' bed. The parents will still love them. The parents will teach the kids how to eat, will teach them how to walk, will teach them how to change their clothes, will teach them to go to school, will stand by the side and watch their sports games. The parents will be there to choose their spouse, will be there at the birth of their sibling. The parents will be there for them all their entire life. But then imagine that parent, what they feel like when that parent reaches the age of 60 and the child is sitting there packing his parents' clothes, closes the suitcase, loads it inside the car, and is driving his parents to an old people's home. You know, when you leave your parents there, may Allah protect any parent in this gathering, any human being to ever go through this. And when they leave those parents there, and when they close the door and walk away, you know, before they close the door, they ask their parents, "Mom and Dad, are you okay?" And mom and dad are looking around this room, and they're thinking, "What happened here?" And as soon as then they say to the child, "Yes, I'm okay." You know, that little, just to some confidence, "I'm okay." And when that child leaves the room, you know, their world shatters in front of them in a million pieces. Because they feel like now everyone's left them. And that's when most people will actually say, "Ya Allah, it's time for me to leave the world now. There's no muhabba left in the world. Maybe there'll be more muhabba for me in the hereafter." So here Ayyub alayhi salam is going through this very unique emotional moment where his wife is also saying, "Why don't you make dua?" So then Ayyub alayhi salam, he continues to be patient. And with his tongue, he kept saying, "Walillah alhamd, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, subhanallah, alhamdulillah." He kept praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happened was some people from Banu Israel were passing by and they said, "This man has been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now as soon as they said this, Ayyub alayhi salam's entire state changed. He said, "Ya Allah, all this time I was of the belief that this was from shaitan. And I know this is from shaitan. But these people are saying that, Ya Allah, you are punishing me because of something I did. So Ya Allah, if you are punishing me, I repent to you and I ask you to remove this from me." So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Ayyub alayhi salam makes his dua, he is then inspired that this wasn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then along with that, Ayyub alayhi salam continues his dua and he says, "Rabbi inni masani al-dhur wa anta arhamur rahimin." Oh my Lord, difficulty has come upon me and you are the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Ayyub alayhi salam, "Time to change up now." He sends Jibreel, "Go and pick up Ayyub alayhi salam." Jibreel alayhi salam comes and he picks up Ayyub alayhi salam. He drags him to the special land. He puts him there. Allah azza wa jalla reveals to Ayyub alayhi salam, "Urkud birijlik," kick the ground with your heel. Ayyub alayhi salam kicks his heel, he kicks the ground, water begins to gush out. Allah says, "Bathe in that water." As soon as Ayyub alayhi salam begins to put the water over his body, all of his beauty begins to return. And all of his health begins to return. And as soon as he takes that bath, you know, then after that Allah says, "Now drink from it as well." And then Ayyub alayhi salam, he drinks a cup from there. And when he drinks from there, he returns back to his complete health. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that right after that, we restored him with what we had given him before, many more folds. And this was all due to his patience and how he was content with whatever state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in. Now, before I move forward, I just want to mention one thing. You know how Ayyub alayhi salam kicked the ground and he drank from the water for shifa? This concept exists even till today. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that al-ma'u zamzam lima shuriba lahu. That the water of Zamzam will be for whatever you intend for it to be. If you intend the water of Zamzam to be a source of cure and you drink it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely give you shifa. You know, I've dealt with this case so many times. I can tell you so many stories from Chicago where a lady, she came to me, she said to me, "My son has so-and-so illness and the doctors are saying that he won't last for too long." I said, "If you have the chance, take him for Umrah and bathe him in Zamzam with sincerity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give shifa." And subhanAllah, shifa comes right to those kids. Many times, not once or twice, many, many times. So we should drink Zamzam as well and give it to those that are sick. The Prophet, this is authentic narration by the way, al-ma'u zamzam lima shuriba lahu. Whatever intention you make while drinking Zamzam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you that. What we learn from the story of Ayyub alayhi salam, my dear brothers and sisters, is that sometimes in life you might have everything. But then a blink of an eye, all of that may become into nothing. Everything may turn into nothing. Whether you have everything or whether you have nothing, you must remember that what matters most is that you are content with the state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has you in. Today you and I begin to complain because we can't afford Starbucks coffee, or because we can't afford to live in a better neighborhood, or because we can't afford to drive a better car, or because maybe instead of earning 7,000 or 15,000 a month, now we're earning 4,000 a month. Learn to be content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Because if you are not content with what Allah has given you, then you will remain a beggar in personality for as long as you live. Even $100,000, even $1 million in salary will never be able to satisfy you. So learn to have qana'ah. Learn to have contentment. To be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away, walillahi alhamd. Because at the end of the day, everything we own belongs to Allah. And to Allah it will return. I want to end with one story. Our Shaykh once shared a story with us regarding Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhi, who was a great, very good scholar. He had a business, and his business was import and export. He actually had a ship, and he would rent that ship out to other companies, and they would travel goods back and forth. So on one of his business trips, he sent his son. So his son was taking a ship full of goods to the import city. So while the ship was on the way, there was a storm that hit that route, and the ship was destroyed, and everyone died. So a person came and told Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. Sheikh Abdul Qadir was in the masjid, he was with the students. And a person came and told him that, you know, Sheikh, your ship was on its way. It crashed because of the storm and everyone died, including your son. So the Sheikh closed his eyes, he opened his eyes and he said, Alhamdulillah, and he smiled. Now a little while later, a month later, a person came and said, Sheikh, your ship was going and the storm hit the ship. Everything was destroyed, but somehow your son lived. So the Sheikh once again closed his eyes, turned to his heart, he opened his eyes, smiled and said, Alhamdulillah. So his student was there, he said, Sheikh, when you heard your son died, you smiled and said, Alhamdulillah. When you heard your son was alive, you smiled and said, Alhamdulillah again. It sounds like this contradiction there. Why did you smile and say Alhamdulillah both times? So he said, I didn't smile and say Alhamdulillah at the death or at the living of my son. When I heard my son died, I turned to my heart and I asked my heart a very important question. That has the death of my son caused any change in my relationship with Allah? And I realized that there was no change. So I smiled and I said, Alhamdulillah. Then when I found out my son was alive, I once again turned to my heart and I asked my heart a very important question. That has the life of your son caused any change between you and Allah? And I realized that there was no change at all. So I smiled and I said, Alhamdulillah. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to remain content for as long as we live with whatever we have, whatever state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the shakirin and the sabirin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.